I am excited.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That schedule frightens the hell out of me, though.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We are thrilled. And that is, you know what, that's the royal we. Could not be more happy to have the head coach of the New York Jets. It's been too long since I've spoken to Robert Saleh.
We got to win more games to get on the show.
Oh.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, senior writer at The Ringer, Kevin Clark. Still to come, co-host of Top Gear America, actor Rob Corddry. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, indeed. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. One of our favorite guests, Rob Corddry, who has sat in this chair, right? He hosted one of the shows when I was gone years ago.
We filmed a bit about the NFL season or something.
He was balling.
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 Back when he was on Ballers.
That's right.
On HBO. Yeah.
Right. Now it's season two of Motor Trend's Top Gear America. It was a great clip of him in an Evel Knievel suit. We're going to show you shortly. It's good stuff. Our friend Rob Corddry, who's a Patriot fan, just like you. But he doesn't strike me as one of those mass hole types.
He doesn't?
He doesn't strike me like that he's only happy when he's miserable.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Like Bill Burr?
But Bill doesn't like that when I say that. He is rapidly complained when I have accused him of being that.
But he's also super miserable.
I don't know about that. I mean, talking about sports. I'm not talking about in comedy. I'm just talking about sports. That you're not happy unless you're unhappy about something. Like Draymond Green pisses you off. It kind of gives you a better feel about your Celtics losing to them. You know,
I don't like him. Yeah.
I will proffer to say he doesn't like you either.
We've never met, and you know, he probably would have no problem telling me how he feels right to my face.
Well, I think he did yesterday. Here we go. Play it. This is what Draymond Green. Apparently, they were not going to have like a whole big speechifying at this.
Right. There wasn't going to be a post rally.
What's going on?
Post rally. Like, yeah.
I don't know, but the team was all sitting on a stage in front of a group, a gathering. Maybe it was like like season ticket holders or something.
But
when you have
no actual history with the city of San Francisco,
that's untrue.
That's a problem.
What are you talking about? The San Francisco Warriors used to exist before they moved to Oakland. What are you talking about?
They won zero titles in San Francisco.
Well, NBA titles.
I don't know if that's true.
All right. Which is why Draymond Green hates you. Here's what Draymond had to say when they did put a microphone in his hand.
This has been an amazing year. I told y'all don't let us win a championship. And clearly, nobody could stop it. I warned y'all. So I'm just going to continue to destroy people on Twitter, as I have been, and Instagram stories. What brings me the most joy in winning a championship ever since I won my first one is seeing the guys who win it the first time. Because in your journey, you always want that feeling back. Like, that first time you do it, you want that feeling back. And the reality is you never get it again. And the only way to truly get it is to feel it through an Andrew Wiggins, is to feel it through a Jordan Poole, is to, you know, to feel it through an Otto Porter and Belly and Moses and JK and GP, D Lee, you know, this ain't D Lee first time around, but, you know, you feel it through those guys, and that's how you get that sensation again. So I just want to say thank you all, and as always, everybody else. I love y'all.
There you go. I think he's talking about you.
Definitely talking about you.
I was right. They never won in San Francisco.
See, Clay was yawning behind him, and looks like Jordan Poole was on his phone.
I feel like those guys hadn't slept
well
much.
I think, yeah, Clay, they went to, like, Vegas, right? They went to Vegas.
They showed a picture of Bielitsa, who's young, obviously, and he had spent so much time partying with Clay. He looked 10 years older than Clay.
Well, I mean, didn't Kilbourn call him? He's European, which means he smokes a pack a day.
Right.
That's what he called Bielitsa.
Yeah.
And then Clay, wearing like the captain and Tennille captain hat, like
it's
the skipper, the Gilligan's Island skipper hat.
It's a great
Walking around.
Yeah.
He was tripping over things, right?
Well,
was he the Tom Brady of this affair, or he's knocked some poor fan over?
He was Brady level. By the way,
we're seeing it again. you know what? I saw this video. Keep playing it. I saw this video. I think he tripped over a cable car rut in the street.
He couldn't catch
his balance. Yeah. And I saw this on Rex Chapman's feed. Is this a blocker charge? Is what he said, and I think it's a block on
the lady.
On the lady, her feet were moving; they were not set.
Yeah, she stepped into him.
I don't know. She wasn't in the semicircle, but by the way, what a moment! Like I'm going to go to the Warriors parade, and then you get knocked over by Klay Thompson. That's something you'll never forget.
Right? What? Yeah.
There you go. That's the Warriors parade.
Bielitsa is 34, by the way.
And he smokes a pack a day, according to Craig Kilborn. Let's take a phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bill in Pennsylvania, you're here. What's up, Bill? All right. Put Bill back.
Can you hear me?
Oh, hey. Are you there, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You got a misfire. Let's go. It's all good. You're off and running now. What's on your mind?
I was just... I telework a lot, and I listen to you every day for the last 2 years, which is great. But
thank you.
I'm trying to understand the outrage on this LIV tour with the PGA on where the money's coming from, you know, from the Saudis.
Okay.
I've looked back and looked at it. You can do better than I. But
well, you remember 9/11, right, Bill?
But since then, Tiger, Phil, McIlroy, they've all taken humongous appearance fees and everything to play on the Saudi Dubai Open. I've watched them in the middle of the night. I enjoyed them. Everybody's taking appearance fees and taking money from the Saudis. So
well, I guess then this one threatens the livelihood of so many other folks on the tour or the viability of the tour. So it's a totally different ball of wax when you can get an exemption and you're still part of the tour as opposed to joining something that can actually threaten a business model of a whole bunch of people. Like I think that's the difference.
Point. That's my very point. You know, let's keep it away from where the money's coming from. I mean, everybody on the tour and everybody in the NBA wears that Nike icon, and we all know where that money comes from. So let's stop talking about where it comes from. Let's start talking about we can't compete with it, and we need to do that. We need to compete and coexist if we can't compete with the money. But
thanks for the call, Bill.
I'm sorry.
Did you? You already got it? I'm sorry.
Thanks. No, I was just going to say, I think the issue should be the competition aspect. As you mentioned, it's affecting things now. But, even our president's going over there to beg for oil, you know, from the Saudis. But it means we need to address the competition aspect.
Thank you, Bill.
I think that should be the focus.
Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging in there. That's Bill in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with Bill.
I will do so. As well. Hey, TJ Jefferson,
yes,
are you ready? I need NFL Films music.
You know
this has been
deal.
A lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun.
I do like this.
Every single day, we've done this for a few days now. We're going to run through it. We've already done the AFC East, the NFC North, and the AFC West. So you're going back into the National Football Conference today. TJ Jefferson, you have a list, in your estimation, of the best player in the history of all the franchises in the NFC South. I will give you the floor, TJ Jefferson.
This was tough, man. I'm giving myself an ulcer trying to come up with this list because I feel some of the fans of these teams are going to not love this. But I feel like you can't argue that if you make your picks, these guys should be on there.
I think you should just make a stand. I think you should say what you say in confidence and to heck with all the haters.
All right. Say it with the chest.
So here we go.
TJ.
We're just going to reel them off and then we'll talk about them like you like. With the Falcons, I went with Deion Sanders. With the Carolina Panthers, I went with Sam Mills. With the New Orleans Saints, I went with Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. And with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I went with Derek Brooks.
Okay.
As the greatest players in franchise history.
Okay.
And it was tough, man. This was tough.
Chris Brockman, your brow is furrowed. What do you got? What do you have an issue with? Obviously, Breeze is the old no brainer for the Saints.
I would think so.
With all due respect, it's definitely not Deion Sanders. Like Matt Ryan is easily the best player in the history of the Falcons.
Wow!
He won an MVP. He had him on the precipice of a Super Bowl. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. Everyone's going to associate him with the Falcons. It's easily Matt Ryan.
I will push back heavily, sir. There's a whole a stadium that got built due to Deion's popularity. The Georgia Dome was the house that Deion built.
He played five years with the team.
No, I get it.
He's not the best player for the Falcons.
But here's just my thinking on that, right? Because you could go, if I'm an old school Falcons fan, I could say someone like Jeff Van Note played 18 years of tremendous offensive lineman. You're going to get some Falcons fans saying he's the greatest. But for me, it goes back to this. When you talk about the greatest at their position,
yes,
Deion Sanders' name is always at the greatest at the position of cornerback. Therefore, when it comes to the team that everyone got to know Deion Sanders from, when you think of the Atlanta Falcons, people of a certain age think of primetime.
He took them from Fulton County Stadium to the Georgia Dome and, you know, and gave an incredible amount of juice and popularity to a franchise that was beyond downtrodden. And I understand Matt Ryan took a team to a Super Bowl and he does have the quarterback records. But
he was MVP of the whole league.
I get it. I totally understand it. You'll say Matt Ryan is the greatest player in the history of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, you guys are way off on this one.
All right. What's up with Sam Mills? What'd you think about that one?
Okay, Sam Mills. This was
tough. You were going to say Steve Smith.
I had Steve.
You could even say Cam Newton, too. Cam,
I had Steve.
Under your, you know, Chris Brockman.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Went to the Super Bowl and MVP, and Cam Newton holds a bunch of records at the position for the Carolina Panthers.
And I had.
And how, if you say Matt Ryan, if that makes Matt Ryan the greatest player in the history of the Atlanta Falcons.
Longevity.
Understood longevity is part of that, that Cam didn't have there.
And I realized the reason I did this with Sam, because I got a lot of people saying that I should have had Bo Jackson for the Raiders, and my argument was Bo only played 38 games for the Raiders. Now,
yeah,
Sam Mills,
can't, way too many greats.
Now, the reason I had Steve Smith Sr. until about 40 minutes before showtime today. But reading the comments from the other ones of these that we've done, I see a lot of old school fans, and I kind of take into consideration what they feel. And I just think, like, a Carolina Panther fan would have Sam Mills in there for what he brought to the team. You know,
keep pounding, man.
That was part his of logo. That was it. He came up with that. A lot of people looked at Sam Mills like he was the heart and soul of the Carolina Panthers. I like I said, I had Steve Smith Sr. initially.
Yes.
The very last minute, I changed it to Sam Mills. Obviously, you know, Luke Kuechly could have gone in there. Cam could have gone in there. You know,
Sam Mills only played 3 years with the Panthers.
Well, in that respect, then why isn't Tom Brady the greatest player in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, according to TJ's logic,
won a Super Bowl for them, right? Brad Johnson's the only other human being to say I won a Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No, I think you have to spend at least 5 years in the amount of time that Deion spent with Atlanta.
See, I would have had Sam Mills as the greatest player in the history of the Saints.
I feel like
Drew Brees.
I feel like history will look at it and say Drew Brees may have saved football down there with that Super Bowl.
Drew Brees is the greatest player in the history of the New Orleans Saints, and there's no argument about it.
But Sam Mills can't be the greatest player in the history of the Panthers. He was only there. Then why isn't Kevin Green?
Again, it was me thinking like a Carolina Panther fan and thinking what a long time. Obviously, they've only been around since, what, 95, 96, but he was the heart and soul of that franchise.
This division
for 3 seasons.
This division has caused quite a bit of a conundrum for this endeavors, because you have to wonder longevity with the franchise or longevity period, success with the franchise. Derek Brooks is a great name to throw out there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It came down between Sapp and Brooks, and be very honest with you with their longevity. I gave it to Brooks. And
that's
like,
it, you can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong.
The Sam Mills thing, I'll accept any, you know, pushback from that. But it was just like me trying to put myself in the.
Are you speaking on behalf of Sarah being an Atlanta Falcon person? Or you like?
No, I mean, I just think it's not even an argument. You got a guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to have a lot
Matt
of...
Matt Ryan's going to the Hall of Fame?
For sure.
Well, you know, Deion Sanders is currently in the Hall of Fame.
Matt Ryan has played 3 times as long as Deion did with the same franchise.
That's fine. Did Matt Ryan have the... No. Like, again, I'm not here to, like, argue these points. I'm just placing them on the table.
I'm blown away by the Sam Mills thing and not being Steve Smith, to be honest.
Again, I thought I did a good job explaining that. It was Steve Smith.
How is Steve Smith not the embodiment of what it means to be a Panther?
Again, you're not reading the comments. I'm reading the comments. I'm thinking of what Carolina Panthers fans might say.
I don't know why you're trying to please them. I mean, this is your list.
It's my list, but it's not my team. Therefore, I'm not going to, like, I'm giving you my opinion, but at the end of the day, if someone wants to come to me and say I'm wrong, I will not argue.
So give me your list.
I'm putting
so
up
give
a
me
poll
your give me, no, I'm going to put up a poll. We're going to post this video and we will invite the comments.
The comments will be there.
So what's your list? Your list would be Matt Ryan, Steve Smith Sr.,
Drew Brees,
and Derek Brooks.
Flip a coin, Derek Brooks in 99. Yeah.
Yeah, I would swap out Steve Smith for Sam Mills.
Again, no problem.
That's what I would do, and then I'd keep the rest the same.
You saw what I was thinking. I mean, again, Deion, it was Steve Smith until this morning.
I've walked around Atlanta with Deion Sanders, and it's just like, you know, the Red Sea's party.
I got to think a lot of people probably associate Deion as a cowboy.
I do.
Maybe that's a different era. I don't know. Deion.
Yeah.
I mean, what Deion did with the Atlanta Braves and the Falcons at the same time is just something that's in the history of the sports town. It's one of the most incredible feats, you know. Good list. Leads to a conversation.
Julio Jones is a better Falcon than
who?
Than Deion. Who? Julio Jones.
I'll accept Bush. The Sam Mills thing, but now you're getting a little crazy here, bro.
844-204-RICH, number to dial if you wish. Rob Corddry's joining us next here on the Rich Eisen Show. Season 2 of Top Gear America is going to start streaming on the 1st of July, and we will talk about it with one of our favorites when he joins us next on the Rich Eisen Show in studio. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Rob Corddry here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio audience, just returned. We're talking about Top Gear America, season 2 coming up. Just saw a funny clip with you as an Evel Knievel. Is that a fire suit? Is that what it is?
No, here's the thing. So we got a real helmet, real Evel Knievel helmet, and his actual suit. It's just leather.
That's it?
There's nothing protective about it. We wonder why the guy would break every bone in his body every time he went out. His helmet was almost just plastic. They wouldn't let me wear it to drive the 200.
Because in the 21st century, there was a liability?
In any century, that thing's not safe.
Why am I laughing?
He was asking for it. It really kind of like brought it all into perspective, the Evel Knievel thing. Like, we were there for the injuries.
Just the video of him coming off the, you know, the motorcycle in front of Caesars like a rag doll hitting the floor.
I could watch that on a loop. It's so great.
And so that's the same suit. That's kind of cool.
I don't know if that's the same suit. It's the same suit maybe that he did the...
Grand Canyon or something like that?
Yeah. Or Snake Rivers,
whatever,
or something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's so cool.
I'm not up on all the Evel Knievel.
To me, though, that would be just stunts. Like a bucket list, like something I never thought I would ever put on.
Well,
like
I guess is my bucket list.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know that I've fulfilled something on my bucket list until I'm doing it. And it was sitting there in that car in that horrible costume, like constricted to say the least, where I was like, yeah, I guess I've wanted to do this.
So have you always been a gearhead, or are you just learning about it
while doing
this right
now?
Well,
yeah, my dad was a big gearhead. You know, he had every car in the world when he was young, and then they had me, and they bought a Volvo, you know, and that went away. And then I moved to New York, and it just kind of, you don't need cars there. So it just kind of fell off. And then when I got to LA, my interest reignited, and all my friends from New York are like, you're not a car guy. What are you talking about? And I'm definitely not a car guy like those two. Dax and Jethro are car guys. I'm just like I'm the audience, basically.
Right.
I'm an enthusiast.
Just going through it like the fan sitting at home watching the show.
I can barely tell you what a differential is, you know? But that's not my job.
You know, it's so funny. One time I hosted RPM Tonight on ESPN2.
Okay.
That's why I bring this up.
Yeah.
The nightly show about NASCAR and racing. And I'm the fan watching this show. I don't know anything about anything. And I started the show by saying I'm the first host in the history of RPM Tonight who has to call AAA to change a tire. I have no idea. Like I just put it all out there.
Oh man, the arguments I've had with my wife whenever we have to change a tire. You know, we're on the freeway and she's like, we're going to call AAA. It's like, I got this. It's easy. And then, of course, if I win, I'm having trouble getting the tire out of the, you know, it's hidden somewhere. The jacks are weird, like proprietary equipment. And we call AAA.
I was about to say, you feel the wind shear of the 18-wheelers passing by
AAA's
you.
AAA's fantastic.
That's true.
They are fantastic.
But that's not part of Top Gear America, right?
We don't call AAA on Top Gear. No, we've never done that.
I've got Rob Corddry here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we just saw you riding a Lambo there. So what can you tell us about the cars that you've driven?
Well, that was definitely one of the highlights. I drove the Porsche Taycan, which is the electric Porsche.
Yes.
Fantastic. And I'm not such a big fan of electric cars only because I don't think there's anything special about them for the most part. That said, I also drove the Mustang, you know, the electric Mustang.
Yes.
And
was that the Mach-E? Is that what it is?
The Mach-E. Yeah, that's right. And it's a boring kind of crossover. And people are arguing about whether it's a Mustang or not. And I'm like, yeah, there's a Mustang badge on it. So end of discussion. They can just do whatever they want.
But these new electric cars, they can haul ass.
Well, they can
cars.
Haul ass for a little bit,
right?
You know, but I love arguing with my friends' sons about how my old Porsche can beat a Tesla in a quarter mile. Maybe not in like a drag race,
right?
You know, maybe in like a half mile, I could definitely beat it.
My 11-year-old can't get enough of electric cars. He's locked
in. Yeah, they think
like,
they're like
the greatest thing. He knows everything about electric cars. We made him put like a report together for all of us and deliver us some. Yeah, as we're in the market for a new electric car, he's helping us out with this whole thing.
Yeah, well, man, the Taycan's really good.
Yep,
and you could do worse than the Mach-E too.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. All right, so what do you like about doing this show, Rob? I mean, like, are you?
I spent the first half of the first season terrified. Terrified. I was this close to quitting. Like, I just wanted out. I felt out of my element. Mm-hmm. It was affecting the way I was interacting and like doing the job I knew how to do, and and then one day we were in Arizona.
Yes.
And I always choose the right car for the challenges.
Yes.
Those guys always choose the wrong car. That's my only advantage.
Yes.
So I had this great Highlander. Not Highlander. That's the wrong car. 4Runner.
Yes.
And I was the only one to make it up this hill. And I had to actually go back and tow Dax in this big van all the way up to the top of this hill. And after that, I was totally in. And I never looked back.
You got through it.
And from that moment on, it was just fun. It was, you know, everything that the show had promised it was going to be.
So you broke the speed barrier, basically, your own personal speed barrier.
Yeah. And I keep doing it. And I find that I'm, less afraid in my actual life.
What's the most you've ever topped?
Well, should I say? Because that's in
okay.
big season
two.
Am I going to make it to 200? Because the air in Montana is thin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the best place to try and get a car up to 200.
So why not try it in Big Sky Country? Why don't you?
Yeah.
So when you say
why don't we take it down to Death Valley?
Wait a minute. I need to follow up on what you just said, Rob Corddry. Yeah. So you say you're less afraid and in
yeah.
What are you doing in daily life?
What do you
now
got?
That
I'll do it.
That you're such a daredevil now.
I'm just I guess I'm realizing I was afraid. I was I was a frightened person. I was more less apt to take risks.
Okay.
You know? And now, maybe for better or worse,
yeah.
I'm it's fun.
Okay.
You know? And so I'll get hurt someday and then it'll all end.
You're eating pizza before it's cool? Is that what you're doing?
Right out of the box.
This is what I mean? You don't care about the roof of your mouth anymore?
Oh, okay. Speaking of roof of the mouth.
Yes, sir.
I'll eat those things that will tear the roof of your mouth.
Now there's
Captain Crunch, great example. Thank you.
Tears up the roof of your mouth.
The Captain Crunch genre of food. If you eat Captain Crunch, it tears up the your soft palate. Yeah.
I don't mean to nitpick Rob and Chris, but it's Cap'n Crunch. Oh. As you know, there's an apostrophe.
I'm sorry. Did I hit that T?
It's like, you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a stickler when it comes to cereal.
I apologize to you and to General Mills.
Yes, sir.
Assuming they make that
By
cereal.
The way, that's General Mills outranks Cap'n Crunch, I believe. I think if you're just actually putting it all together. Hey now.
Oh man, that was good.
Look at me.
Good show. You did a great show today.
Thank you, Rob. I greatly appreciate it. I got Rob Corddry here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so are you still locked in on New England sports? Is that you're still not really?
I found that over the pandemic, I've been locked into no sports.
None. There was, usually you're the other way.
I like football. I'm still watch football all the time. I'm in four fantasy leagues, still trying to get out of
some
of them. Yeah. And but other than that, you know, the other day I did watch, and I swore I'd never, not that I even would have the energy about it to swear I wouldn't watch golf.
Mm-hmm.
But I always, watched golf ironically.
Mm.
It's so silly. And I just started taking lessons.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just got some clubs.
You
and
got
now
the bug
I am
now.
In.
You got the bug.
And I was watching the U.S. Open. It's exciting.
Yes.
It's nonstop, first of all.
Yeah.
They don't pause. They're going right from hole to hole. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You could barely take a breath. It's the fastest sport on TV.
For people who walk.
People who walk.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting. I love it.
Well, now now that you're watching what I guess unironically you're now watching.
Now I'm watching unironically.
Right. So now that you're doing that, watching a major golf tournament like the United States Open or the Masters makes you just want to play more, makes you feel like you got to get out there and do it, because you see these shots, you're like, I can do that, or at least you have it somewhere in here, and then not so much.
Well, because I'm at the stage now, I'm glad you say that, because I feel bad about myself. I am so bad at golf. I've taken let's say 6 lessons.
Okay, so
I'm so bad at. I feel like I was better before.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's one of the things with golf that happens.
Between the temples, you can get really twisted and turned around.
Yeah, man. Oh.
So you're worse with the lessons, is what you're saying?
I'm worse because I have an idea of what I'm doing and I'm trying to do it right.
Oh, yeah. That's no good. You just got to
any advice, please.
I just keep playing. You got to get out there.
Can I bend my left arm just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
You can bend your left arm a little bit.
Just a little bit, but not too much. You don't want to go full.
All right.
You don't want to go full.
I have very tight hips. I know you guys know that.
Yeah. First thing I noticed.
Well, we saw you put on the Evel Knievel suit, and you looked a little tight.
We've talked about my hips before.
We have. We are following old ground.
Yeah,
right,
but it's moving things in my body that it looks so natural when they're doing it, and it feels so very unnatural.
Well, you're here for breaking news, by the way. You just got in my ear. Just heard this news, and is this true? Rob Gronkowski just retired
just
from
retired,
football?
Yeah.
How about that?
Announced on Twitter. He just put up a lengthy post.
So he's not going to go play with Tommy for one more year, huh?
Doesn't look like it, yeah.
Wow.
He's going to go into the hall with Big Ben instead of Tom.
It should be bigger news, but no one's surprised, right?
It's kind of a bummer.
It's kind of a bummer. I just love watching Gronk play. Like,
yeah.
He's the best to do it. So,
yeah.
It's kind of a bummer when he walks away.
And you know that he's going to play at least half the games. You can count on that. And
is he joining the Live Tour? Is that what he's going to do now?
What's he going to do with himself? He's going to eat cereal.
What do you think your first blush thoughts on Gronk's post-playing career?
And finally,
he's going to write a book.
Yeah. What is he going to do?
Write a book about... it's social economics.
Scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff.
On economics.
I would love to see his Wonderlic scores. I would love to see
him. He is one of our, just in terms of the Patriot years and the great years of the Brady Belichick years, he was, who would be more, Chris, than anybody than him that you would think is the least Belichickian guy to play?
Mm.
For the Patriots, like that's the guy, and he's retired. He's the greatest tight end, to play the game.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
I think so.
I think so too.
Wow, how about that? So, if you have him in a keeper league, don't keep him in one of your four fantasy leagues.
Okay.
Did you say you're
I don't draft Gronk.
You're in four fantasy.
Yeah, I'm in four fantasy. One's a family league.
All right,
but
so you can't quit that.
That's been getting more competitive.
Okay.
So. One is with a bunch of actor friends. It's called the Hollywood Phonies.
Anybody you name drop that you can...
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a bunch of people that have probably been in here before. Mm-hmm. Jerry O'Connell, okay. Paul Scheer.
Sure.
Who else is in there? Lots of guys. I can't remember anyone.
Okay.
Now.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
By the way, I'm just waiting for you to say I'm in this league with Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham and Mike Trout,
Cruise.
Yeah, right.
Never
all
heard
these
of
guys.
Him.
Okay. So you're
I'm just blanking.
Okay. So you're in four of these leagues.
I'm in four of these. And then there's my main league, which I'm
that's the one you
want. I quit one league. I used to be in five. I quit the one that I used to win.
Why? Because
I don't know. It was a 16-team league.
Oh, that's what you're in, Chris, right? Aren't you 16 teams?
I'm in a 14.
14.
Four team?
No, 14.
14.
Yeah, it's kind of luck when you get up to that number in a way.
Please tell them what I hate about that league.
We have a no time limit draft.
Do you imagine that?
Well,
could you imagine being in a draft? Are you where somebody takes a half an hour to choose a player?
No, that's insane.
That's happened.
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane.
That's insane. I like auction drafts.
Okay.
That's my favorite league has an auction draft.
Yeah.
And so
you feel like
those
a real
go pretty
GM.
Quick.
Oh, they do, huh?
Just by design. But cuz who you're going to then there's the whole auction strategy involved. You have nominate people that others will pay up for.
Oh, so you blow their salary caps.
Yeah,
you have something like...
never works. Doesn't work at all.
Top Gear America, pardon me, Top Gear America, Motor Trend's Top Gear America, season number 2 starts streaming on July 1 on Motor Trend Plus, Amazon Prime, as well as Roku and Apple TV with Dax Shepard and Jethro Bovingdon. Good to see you.
So good to see you.
Rob Corddry.
Thanks for having me.
Come back anytime, man. It's great to see
you. Anytime?
Anytime. Certainly, if you're bringing shoes like that, Brockman wants them.
Oh, man.
Did you ask him what size his shoes are?
Well, he asked me if I wanted to buy them, and I asked him what size.
If I wanted to buy, yeah. I was trying to sell them.
Yeah.
What would he leave in? Just his bare feet?
Yeah.
He would just take the...
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. That's how sneaker guys do business.
Yep. Okay, very good.
Right off your shirt.
Certainly come here anytime. Just bring an extra pair of shoes next time.
I'll buy your shirt, too.
At Rob Corddry on Twitter, at Rob_Corddry on Instagram. Everyone check out Top Gear America. Great to see you, Rob.
Great to see you. All right. Thank you for having me.
Gronk is retired. Let's chop that up a little bit before we wrap up this show in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Callaway Rogue Irons. There are four different types, four different offerings. All of them use artificial intelligence on high-strength 450 steel. It's the only irons ever forged in that manner. They're the longest irons ever, performing at the highest level for every player. There is a Rogue ST iron that suits your game. Because, one, there's the Rogue ST Max for the widest range of players. There's a refined game improvement shaping, incredible combo of speed, forgiveness, and all-around performance there. The low to mid single-digit handicappers, the Rogue ST Pro is for you because there's a hollow body construction and a sleek, compact player shape. The Rogue Max OS, that's Callaway's best game improvement model for mid to high handicappers. If you have a slower swing speed, maybe you're at an advanced age, need some help using the Max OS Lite, that's the most high forgiving, high launch iron for you. So no other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons, folks. Find your Rogue ST irons at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. So in the middle of our conversation with Rob Corddry, yet more news breaking. More news breaking on the air.
I appreciate that NFL offseason, everything happening between noon and 3 Eastern.
I know, pretty
it's
much.
Great for us.
I know. The whole hell going on month of March happened that way,
Nice of everybody.
So here we are on the air live, and Rob Gronkowski is retired for a second time on his social media channels. He wrote, in college, I was asked to write about a dream job opportunity that I wanted to pursue and where the location would be. Every time I had to write about my future, no matter what, I picked being a professional football player. For that assignment, though, we had to pick the location. So I wrote that I wanted to play in Tampa for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for many reasons, the sunny weather being number one. I completely forgot about writing this report until 2 years ago when I had the opportunity to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And let me tell you, the journey in Tampa over the last 2 years has blown away what I originally wrote about in college big time. And for this, I want to thank the whole entire first-class Buccaneers organization for an amazing ride, trusting me to come back to play and help build a championship team. I will now be going back to my retirement home, walking away from football again with my head held high, knowing I gave it everything I had, good or bad, every time I stepped out on the field. The friendships and relationships I've made will last forever, and I appreciate every single one of my teammates and coaches for giving everything they had as well, from retirement back to football and winning another championship and now back to chilling out. Thank you to all Buccaneers fans, the crew. Without you guys, none of this is possible. All of you brought it every game. Thank you for all you do. Cheers to what's next, maybe sailing the seas. And then he wrote, arg.
He left something out.
What is the?
Gronk is the best man. Just what a legend.
He retires for the second time at age 32, and he let's go down the list here. First team All Pro in 2011, 2014, 15, and 17. Five Pro Bowls. Led the NFL in receiving touchdowns in 2011. He was the comeback player of the year in 2014 because he always got submarined in those knees. No one wanted to go high tackling Gronk ever. Named to the all-decade team of the teens. His name was, in fact, mentioned on the set with me and Chris Collinsworth and his head coach for so many years, Bill Belichick, and the NFL 100th all-time team. the NFL 100. He was on it. Leaves the game with the most touchdowns by a tight end in postseason history, 15. That's the second most at any position, 7 behind only Jerry Rice. He's had the most 100-yard games by a tight end in NFL history, the most total touchdowns in a single season by a tight end in league history at 18 in 2011. His 92 total career touchdowns, 12th most in NFL history. Only Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez have more at the tight end position. And he's the only tight end in NFL history to post 3 seasons of 1,000 receiving yards and 10-plus touchdowns. He did that in 2011, 14, and 15. And he won 4 Super Bowls, including Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. Holy cow, what a career.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he walks away, which is good to say, in the NFL at age 32, meaning he will go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame when he's 38,
will he be the
37,
youngest 38. Ever? How old was
I think LT was pretty damn young, and so was Marshall.
Jim Brown is probably pretty young, too.
I think so. As a first ballot Hall of Famer as well.
Yeah. Gronk is first ballot.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure. Which means, you know what, if he just stuck out one more year, he'd play with Tom one more year, and it would be Tom and Gronk going in together.
You assume Tom's quitting.
Tom's not quitting. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
There's 375 million reasons why.
Which ain't going anywhere.
But let's give Gronk his due. I mean, obviously, Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates are prolific at the tight end position. Shannon Sharp was terrific as well. Yep. But Gronk has the 4 rings.
Yep.
4 rings. Unguardable, unstoppable. In the red zone going up the... And he had just the ability to get open, too. It wasn't just him in the red zone. He and Tom Brady had a sixth sense, man. And it's part of the reason why Brady was able to win so many championships in the back end of his career at the New England Patriots. He had those 3 out of the first 4 and then had a long drought. Gronk wasn't even on the team that went undefeated in the regular season in 07. He showed up in 2010 out of Arizona. And by the way, what English class at the University of Arizona has people asking them to write an essay on what they want to be? It sounded like, when he said that he wrote that in college, I'm like, that sounds like a third grade assignment.
Like elementary school?
What are we doing there in Arizona? What's up with that assignment? I never had that assignment. What do you want to be? When I was at Michigan.
Adam Schefter tweeted out that...
You were so like, when I was in Michigan.
Drew Rosenhaus.
Hey, hold on a minute. Wait before you get into what's the big deal?
I'm just saying. That's, you know, it's kind of elitist the way
it
you said it.
It is not elitist.
The way you say it sometimes, like when I was at Michigan.
Michigan people carry themselves with a certain level of,
you know what,
thought about themselves.
Just because you guys feel less than...
That's why
about
he's so hurt that I'd like more than one college team.
No. I just make it... Don't make this about your problems about what you feel about your school and your education you got there and make it sound like I'm trying to look down at you. I'm just saying when I went to Michigan, I never had that. I'm just mentioning my college. I didn't have it at Northwestern either.
Wow. Okay.
Those are the 2 schools I went to.
When I went to Yale,
excuse
and Harvard.
Me. My God, I'm not Thurston Howell over here.
I mean, unbutton another button.
When I was rolling in Princeton.
Drew Rosenhaus texted Schefter and said, it would not surprise me if Brady calls Gronk during the season to come back.
Of course.
And Rob answers the call. The skull.
Of course.
It's just my opinion.
Of course. Of course. Right now, Rob's like, do I want to go to training camp when it could be the summer of Rob? No. Is Rob going to just like suddenly just sit on the couch and get all, you know, just eat 15 bags of Hint of Lime? He's not going to do that.
I don't think Gronk really wanted to come back in the first place.
I think Gronk absolutely wanted to come back in the first place. I think he wanted no part of New England, and New England wasn't going to just let him walk.
Yeah.
I think he was done there. I think he was pissed about what? Trading the Lions? Remember that, all that business?
He was going to go to the Lions.
He's not going to the Lions.
Send
me to Detroit. What are you doing? Like, really? After I gave my knees, everybody's going low from my knees and low, my ankles, my knees. I gave up my thighs. I gave up everything for you. And you're going to send me to Detroit?
Isn't it funny how we put Michigan on the pedestal and then we immediately.
It's in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like we.
Well, I wasn't putting my school on a pedestal. It was your read of the situation.
Where you weren't?
No, I was just mentioning where I went to school, which just happens to be an outstanding institution of higher learning that makes you consider your experiences less than, and that's a you problem, not a my problem. Hey, that's a YP, not an MP.
You weren't in Pittsburgh at Point Park when I was there.
I'm sure not.
We were throwing down.
I'm sure you were throwing down academically and everything. Of course, you're a smart man.
Successful man, a smart man.
We
were in Michigan, you know, but we've been all
right. It's a YP, not an MP.
What is happening?
But what I'm saying to you is that Gronk doesn't want any piece of training camp sweating his ass off in Tampa. But if Rob gets a call from Tommy, hey, Tommy, calling up Robbie. Tommy's calling up Gronk. He wants to get the gang back together on the lawn chairs around the floaty pool. You know? Go snorkeling for W's.
He's definitely
towards the end of the
him,
season,
right?
And Tommy's saying, hey, Gronky, I'm going to Fox, man. I'm going to Fox in like 6-7 weeks. Let's just do it one last time, and you come back. Guess what? Two of us, we're in together at our Hall of Fame party. Let's go into the Hall of Fame together. Let's go out champions together. Let's go to the Hall of Fame together. Let's go into the Hall of Fame together. Me and you, Tommy and Gronky, once again, you get the snorkel. I'll get the, you know, the inflatable tub. The pool, let's go.
The floaties.
All right, what's more likely?
Fire the cannons.
What's more likely? Let's go. What's more likely? Gronk comes back this year. Or Brady retires after this year.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
What's more likely is
well, Brady's not retiring.
Guys, there is a Fox contract, an insane amount of money waiting for him right now.
That's not going anywhere.
He wins. Here's the deal. The Bucs are going to win their division, or they're going to be on their way to win the division. And, you know, there's going to be something going on at tight end that doesn't look like Tommy and Gronky. That's it. You know, Tommy and Brady is, you know, Brady and Brady, as in Cameron. It just doesn't have the same ring to it.
I mean,
he's just going to call up Gronk and say, let's go out champs together, then let's go into Canton together. That's a powerful, powerful argument. But in the meantime, vaya con Dios, Gronk, and arg to you.
Ballin'. Arg.